The message this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, and this is what it says. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands and abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. I am glad to be a member of the Presbyterian Church in America. The Presbyterian Church in America has a strong commitment to evangelism, to missionary work at home and abroad, and to Christian education. From its inception, the Church has determined our purpose to be faithful to the Scriptures, true to the Reformed faith, and obedient to the Great Commission. I like that statement. Faithful to the Scriptures, true to the Reformed faith, and obedient to the Great Commission. The most important phrase in that statement is faithful to the Scriptures. Why? Because that is the foundation of the rest of it. The Reformed faith comes out of the Scriptures. The Great Commission is contained in the Scriptures. Faithful to the Scriptures means that everything that we do is grounded in and guided by the Scriptures. Our worship is grounded in and guided by the Scriptures. Our doctrine is grounded in and guided by the Scriptures. Our church government is grounded in and guided by the Scriptures. Our whole world and life view is grounded in and guided by the Scriptures. The justification for that is found here in our text for this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. In the first part of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is telling Timothy about how things are going to be in the last days. What he can expect and what we can expect is apostasy and a progressive trend toward more evil and abandonment of the teaching of the Word of God. So he is challenging and encouraging him and instructing him and us how to live strong for Christ in this environment. How do you do that? How do you lead the church in an environment of apostasy, increasing ungodliness and hostility? As we look at verses 10 to 17, Paul's focus is on Timothy being strong and loyal as a defender of the faith and leader of the church. And what he does in this passage is tell Timothy what he has going for him. First of all, he says, "You have followed my example." Verse 10 through 13, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Secondly, he says, "You have strong convictions built into your spiritual foundation." Verse 14 and 15. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." From childhood, you have been taught the Scriptures. We know from other references that this refers to his mother and grandmother. Paul had his own input into Timothy's life, but the input of Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother were also a part of building the strong foundation that gave him strong convictions that will help him to face the challenges before the church. Then thirdly, he says to Timothy, you need a strong confidence in Scripture. Verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. In this passage, Paul is moving to the Scriptures as the necessary ingredient to be the foundation of everything that we do in the church and the church does in the world. We are to be a people of the book. We are to be a people of the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. So why should we be a people of the book? When he says Scriptures here, he's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments from Genesis to Revelation. Why is it that we build our lives on this book? There are six reasons here, and I'm going to give them to you, not in the exact order that they occur in the text, but I'm going to give you six reasons why we give such preeminence to the Scriptures. First of all, the Scriptures come from God. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. That is the way the English Standard Version reads, and it is a literal translation of the verse. If you are using the King James Version, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, we have a doctrine called the inspiration of the Bible, and it is perfectly all right to use that term if you explain what it means. But it is actually not what this verse says. The word that is translated inspiration in the King James Version and other versions is theopneustos in the Greek, and it literally means God breathed. Theos means God, and pneustos means breath. Put them together and you get theopneustos, God breathed. And that's why the English Standard Version translates it God breathed, and the New International Version translates it God breathed. You say, why is that a big deal? It's a big deal if you understand inspiration to mean what it sounds like it means. Inspiration sounds like breathing into something. Inspire in Latin means to breathe into. It sounds like you've got this Scripture and God breathes into it, and that makes it the Word of God. That is not what 2 Timothy 3:16 is saying. 2 Timothy 3:16 is saying that all Scripture is theopneustos, breathed out by God, and is profitable. You see, it is saying that the Scripture originates with God, and it is breathed out by Him. Scripture comes from God. He is the source of it. Scripture has its source in God. If God is the source of this book, then it makes this book very valuable and very important. It is the most valuable book you could ever possibly have. It is authoritative. Whatever it speaks about, you can believe it. Because who knows anything better than God? God is the author of the Scriptures. This book we call the Bible. Now this term Scripture in verse 16 is a technical term for the Old Testament. It is used 51 times in the New Testament to refer to the whole Old Testament or to a particular passage in the Old Testament, in the Law or in the Prophets or in the Psalms. For instance, in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 21, Jesus came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He has anointed Me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent Me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus read from a passage in Isaiah, and then he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This scripture, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. Here's another example. In Luke 24, after the crucifixion, Jesus is raised from the dead, and he comes back, and he meets two disciples walking to Emmaus, and they don't recognize him. And he has a conversation with them, and they don't understand what has just happened in Jerusalem. And Luke 24:27 says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." He interpreted to them in all the scriptures, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, the things concerning himself. Moses and all the prophets. That is a big chunk of the Old Testament. And Jesus calls that the Scriptures. Time and time again, the term Scripture is used to refer to the books that we call the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. So the term Scripture here in 2 Timothy 3:16 definitely means the Old Testament, because the New Testament was only being written at the time Paul was writing this to Timothy. But Jesus promised the apostles that he, by the Holy Spirit, was going to bring to their remembrance the things that occurred among them with him, and that would be written down, and that would become the New Testament Scriptures. The early church was already recognizing the writings of Paul as Scripture. And eventually, by about the 3rd and 4th centuries, the church assembled the books contained in our New Testament and declared that these books are recognized as Scripture. They didn't declare those books to be Scripture. They declared what the church had recognized as Scripture since the days of the apostles. So, when we say that the Scriptures are God-breathed, as the Apostle Paul does here, the emphasis does not rest upon the nature of Scripture, nor does it rest upon the effects of Scripture, but the emphasis rests on the origination of Scripture. Scripture is God-breathed. That is, it is something that has come forth from God. It is something that had its origin with God. All Scripture proceeds from God, not from men. It is something that He breathes out through a man. So it is a divine product. The emphasis rests then not upon the nature of Scripture or the effects of Scripture, though those points are there. They are made. But the emphasis rests upon the origination of Scripture. So all Scripture is breathed out by God. It comes from God. Scripture is not the product of man, but it originates with God, and it is the product of God. When we read the Bible, we are reading the very words of God. What a privilege it is to hold in your hands the very words of God. That's the first reason why we should build our lives on this book. Secondly, the Scriptures are able to produce salvation. Verse 15 says, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." In John's Gospel, we have the continual teaching of Jesus about the power of His Word and the power of the Word of God. But in chapter 5 and verse 24, we read this, the words of Jesus. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." That is a tremendous verse. That is a verse that sums up the essence of the gospel. Believing in God, the God who sent Jesus Christ, and hearing the word brings eternal life and delivers one from judgment, passing out of death into life. And notice the key to it all in verse 24 is he who hears my word. The word is the agency of eternal life. The word is that which begets new life in the soul of a man. In John chapter 6, toward the end of the chapter, Jesus again is teaching in this familiar section where he speaks on the bread of life. But in verse 63, he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Then this, the words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. And if they haven't had that effect upon you, verse 64 implies that's because you don't believe. So the Word mixed with faith produces life. And that is all brought about by the Holy Spirit. But then it is the Word of God. It is the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit uses to produce salvation in us. That's the second reason in this text why we are people of the book. Thirdly, the Scriptures are profitable for teaching. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. Some versions say doctrine. And the reason is the term teaching here does not describe a process. It describes content. It describes a body of truth, that which is taught. The Scripture then is to deposit with you truth. It gives you a body of truth by which you are to think and act. That's basically it. The Scripture is a body of truth which is to control your thinking and your acting. And so as you study the Word of God, you accumulate that body of truth, a repository of truth. And as you accumulate that truth, you extract from it principles for life and thought. It controls the way you think and act. If you are a genuine believer in Christ, you will assimilate that truth of His Word into your mind, and it will affect how you think and how you act. There's another thing. The Scriptures are profitable for reproof. The word reproof literally means to rebuke, to confront someone with a view toward convicting them of misbehavior. It's to rebuke someone's misconduct, or to rebuke false teaching, error, whatever. The word that has such a positive ministry also has a negative ministry of tearing things down, of exposing error and misconduct. The word is not just a builder. It is something that exposes and tears down what deserves to be torn down and evicted from life. The Bible has a rebuking ministry, a rebuking effect. That's what it does for sin in our lives and error in our lives. It will rebuke us and judge us, and we will feel the judgment of sin in our lives, and we have to confess it and get rid of it and leave it behind. There's another thing. The Scriptures are profitable for correction. Verse 16 says, for correction. The Scripture not only exposes sin and error, but it has the ability to correct both. It has a corrective capability. The word here, it literally means to straighten up upon, to lift you up and straighten you up. What happens? The Word of God comes along. It cuts you open and exposes your sin. It slays you. It exposes false belief, false ideas, false teaching. And then the Word of God picks you up and straightens you up and sets you back on your feet. It has the ability to straighten up your conduct, to thoroughly restore you to an upright position is what the Word means. It doesn't just split you up and let you lie there. It puts you back together again. It imparts truth, exposes error, and cures you from it. The Scriptures have the cure for sin and error and misconduct. There's one more thing. The Scriptures are profitable for training in righteousness. Verse 16 says, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, what does training in righteousness mean? Training means to train a child. That's exactly what it means. That's exactly what the word means. It has to do with training a child. It's having to do with educating children. The word is able to bring you up. That's what it means. To nurture you, to raise you, to grow you, to bring you up to maturity. This is the positive side. It's not only correcting you, but it's bringing you up. It's building you up. Dealing with your faults is half of it. Instructing you in what is right is the other half. So the Word takes its reproving power and uses that to correct you. And the Word takes its doctrinal content and uses that to train you. And the process is complete. And the end result in verse 17 is that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So this is why the Scriptures are so important to us. This is why we are a people of the book. The Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. We often say that you cannot do anything to save yourself. We are all in a hopeless and helpless condition on our own. But the Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. That is why it is so important to get yourself in a place to hear the Word of God. That is why we ought to avail ourselves of every opportunity we have to sit under the teaching of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. This is where salvation is found. This is where grace and mercy are found. This is where God is found. This is what the Holy Spirit uses to regenerate your heart and save your soul from damnation. May God give us ears to hear it. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray.